I got up that night, and this is my message. I said, I'm saved, and I said, there's nothing better than being saved but to know you're saved. Amen. And I said, there's nothing better to being saved and knowing you're saved but to know you cannot lose your salvation. Amen. And be unsaved. And so, I tell you, it was awful. But anyway, that's good. It's truth. Nothing wrong with that. I thank God for your pastor, and I thank God for your church. I thank the Lord for the stand you take and the testimony you have in this community. I'm glad you act like Christians, look like Christians, behave like Christians. Your pastor's a great preacher. Tuesday he preached over to the fellowship, and I want to tell you, he really blessed my heart, stirred me up. I enjoyed that, and that was just wonderful. I thank the Lord for that. I really do. Tonight I'd like to say something that would really help you. I really would. I'd like to help you to get close to the Lord, encourage you. The only way that I can do that is God comes by and helps me. Turn your Bibles, if you will, tonight to the book of Genesis. This is a real familiar passage of Scripture. Genesis chapter 5, and we're going to begin reading tonight in verse 18 and read down through verse 24. Now, some of you have heard me preach this before. I tried to get Barb and Talmadge to come with me and sing tonight. That's my sister and brother-in-law. He had to go to Knoxville today for he's had lung cancer. They took part of his lung out, and they did some kind of scan today in Knoxville, to my understanding. But as far as I know, he doesn't have any problems. He didn't even have to take treatments, but he did have a hard time. He got where he couldn't sing, but he's doing a lot better. His name's Talmadge Weasel. You might know him by that. And he's probably been here before singing to you. And so they didn't come. I thought maybe Tara and Caleb would come. That's my son and daughter. But Caleb's working, and Tara, she's kind of works all the time, so that kind of knocked that in the head. So you just have to put up with me doing that. But my wife Vicki came with me, and I told her, I said, well, Vicki, I'm going to be preaching things you've heard before. But she don't care. See, she thinks I'm a good preacher anyway, so she come. And then Brother Joy and Amanda's come, my youth pastor and his wife, and I'm proud of them, and I'm glad they've come. And I feel bad sometimes when they come to hear me because I'm preaching the same old stuff, but anyway, I'm glad they're here, all right? Genesis chapter 5, we're going to look now at verses 18 following. Just real familiar. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begot Enoch. And Jared lived after he begot Enoch 800 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray now you'd help me. I ask you for the same thing I ask for all the time. I pray you give me love, faith, and wisdom as I preach. And most of all, I pray you'd fill me with thy Holy Spirit, and I pray that I could be a help to the people who have come tonight. Lord, please help me to be what you'd have me to be and what the people need here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated there. I want to talk to you tonight on this subject, a candidate for the rapture, a candidate for the rapture. Now, Enoch is mentioned three times in the Bible. He is mentioned here in Genesis chapter 5, and then he's mentioned again in Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 5. It says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And then we find him again in the book of Jude, verse 14. It says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these sayings, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Now, there were only two kinds of people who were living on the earth in the days of Enoch. There were the descendants of Cain, and there were the descendants of Seth. Now, the record of the kind of Cain's people is given in verse 4, or chapter 4. And the record of kind of Seth's people is given in chapter 5. Cain's kind of people lived for this world, but Seth's kind of people lived for the world to come. Now, when the Holy Spirit wanted to show us Cain's kind of people, this is what he said. He took us to thriving cities. He took us to cities that were filled with art, and there was science and industry and things like that. That's what he showed us when he talked about Seth's kind of people. Things were really growing during that time. But when he wanted to take us and show us a picture of Seth's kind of people, he takes us to the morgue. He takes us down to the funeral home, and he shows us Seth's kind of people. And we hear over and over in the fifth chapter of Genesis these words, "And he died." We find that in verse 5. We find that in verse 8. We find that in verse 11. We find that in verse 14. We find that in verse 17. And we find that in verse 20. You would have thought that the Holy Spirit would have emphasized the death of the ungodly. That's Cain's kind of people. Those were the ungodly people of that day. You would think that the Holy Spirit would have emphasized their death in chapter 4, since the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the ungodly, when it talks about them, the Bible doesn't even mention about them dying. Now, they died, but he just ignored that altogether. The Holy Spirit ignored the death of the ungodly altogether, but he emphasized the death of the godly. Don't you find that a little unusual? That the Holy Spirit would emphasize the death of the godly and not even talk about, ignore the death of the ungodly. Something else about the godly that the Holy Spirit does that he doesn't do about the ungodly. The Bible not only says that they died, but the Bible says they lived. Now I'll give you just an illustration of that. The Bible says, this is the book of the generations of Adam. This is verse 1. In the days that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created them, and blessed them, and called his name Adam in the day that they were created. Now watch this. And Adam lived 130 years and begot sons in his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth. Now watch this. And all the days of Adam after he begot Seth were 800 years, and he begot sons and daughters, and all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Notice, not only does the Bible say they died, but twice, every time, it says they lived. Now, notice here that he emphasized their death, but he also emphasized their life at least twice in every verse. Now, I think that's interesting. I suppose that Cain's crowd thought they were really living. And I suppose that Cain's crowd thought that the godly Seth group, the godly people, I would suppose they thought that they weren't living at all. I imagine that Cain's kind of people said to Seth's kind of people, "You're going to prayer meeting again? You mean you're going to Bible study again? You mean you're going back Sunday night after you've been to church on Sunday morning? You mean you're going to camp meeting and jubilee? Man, you all must be crazy." And so the Cain's crowd thought they were really living though, but God didn't think they were living. Now watch this right here. Why do you think, and this will help you right here. Why do you think that the Holy Spirit recorded the death of the godly while ignoring the death of the ungodly? I think there's an answer to that. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 116 verse 15, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." You see, for people who know the Lord, death is not the end. You see, death just opens up the gates of heaven and lets us come in. Death, listen, lifts us from sadness and sorrow. It's more like a shout anyway. And he died, and he died, and he died. Here comes another one. There comes another one home, and he died. Praise God. Isn't that great? He emphasizes that for us. I think that's wonderful, don't you? Now, until you come to the seventh number, here's the message. Until you come from the seventh from Adam, till you get up here to the seventh from Adam, the Bible said he died, he died, he died, he died, he died, and so on. But when you come to Enoch, it's quite different. God did something in Enoch's life that he had never done before, but he certainly intends to do again. Isn't that great? It's going to happen again. We're living in tough times, but I believe Jesus is soon coming, and we're leaving out of here just like Oh, Enoch did, thank God. There was surrounding gloom in Enoch's time. It was a dark time, but there was saving grace, and there was simple goodness, and there was a sudden glory. That's what I'm going to talk to you about tonight, is those four things right there. That's the reason I'm going to talk about being a candidate for the rapture. Listen, I'm sure here as we look at this, and we look at this tonight, for those of us who are born again, we are a candidate for the rapture just like old Enoch was. Any moment, the Lord could come, the trump could sound, and we'd be out of here. I'm looking forward to that. I'm expecting that to take place, you see. Enoch and God walked together, the Bible says. Adam was still alive when Enoch was born. Matter of fact, he was 622 years old. He lived to be 930. Seth was 492 years old. Jared, Enoch's father, was 162 years old. And Enoch lived along with Adam for over 300 years. Here's Adam and Seth, and here is Jared and those godly men. And among all the salt, these were good people, among all the salt that they had in their lives, these great people, they could not stop the corruption that was getting into the world. Now, have you ever been to Niagara Falls? If you ever get a chance to go to Niagara Falls, I'd recommend you go. It's something to see, especially on the Canada side. It's pretty over there. You can get right up to the falls, just like right here. There's kind of like a little thing like right here, and you can look right there, and it kind of makes a circle way out over there. It's a big thing. You've seen it, know what I'm talking about. I've been up there to that falls before, and I've stood right here, and you feel the spray off of that falls as it goes over. And if it's a sunny day, there's always a rainbow. And you look up the Niagara River there, and here comes that water gushing down through there, and it gets right here to a place, and it's clear, and it looks like it's probably from here to the floor that deep, just before it goes off over that precipice into that fall. They tell me that up the Niagara River there, I've never been up through there, but they tell me if you go up that river and you come down that river, it's not a small river now, it's a big river. The Niagara Falls is a big place. I mean, it's a big circle there, half circle. And as that falls comes down through, that water comes down that river, they tell me that there's a sign up there so far up that says the point of no return. What that means is if you pass that point, you can't get back. It's moving so fast, the water is moving so swift, that if you pass that point, you're going to go over those falls. It was in that kind of day that Enoch raised his voice. It was in that kind of day that he raised his voice for 120 years and preached the gospel, preached to those people for that time. Listen, every man, the Bible says, did that which was right in his own eyes. It was not right, But they did what they thought was right. There was no restrictions placed on anyone by society. No law, ever lawless, whatever they wanted to do. Ever evil that they could imagine. Society said, go ahead and do it. They demanded their rights, no matter how disgusting their rights were. Just like today, there's sin and all this stuff that we face, all this blatantism of homosexuality and these trigender type stuff that they're trying to push down your throat. Listen, they want their rights. I'm telling you that we are at the place of no return. And Lamech, listen, said to God, in essence, he is the seventh from Cain's kind of people. In essence, he said to God, get out of my business and leave me alone. And that's what the world is saying today, is get out of our business and leave us alone. Amen. You know what? But you know, Enoch lived in that kind of day. Godliness came to a head in the seventh from Seth, who was Enoch. And ungodliness came to a head in the seventh in the life of Cain's people and the man named Lamech. It was a day of great strides. Science was everywhere. Population was exploding. Great cities were going up. The secrets of nature were being discovered. According to chapter 4 and verse 22, progress, industry, technology, the world was being urbanized. They were getting more together. Man had been cast out of the Garden of Eden. They had been cast out of paradise, and they were trying to make a paradise for themselves. These people were not dummies. Don't get the idea that these people were a bunch of dummies that lived in caves and beat their wives over the head with a club. That wasn't the kind of people they were. Here are these people as they were smart people. Noah built the ark. Think about that. They were not a bunch of dummies. But notice this. They were smart in one way, in the world's way, but on the spiritual side, that was something else to think about. That faith that had been given to Adam and passed down to the next generation had been destroyed. The number of believers were growing less while the population of the world was getting greater. Enoch lived right where you and I live today. The people embraced things that were against God. They embraced those things that the devil was trying to push on them. I know, listen, we think everything's wonderful because Trump's been elected for president. I'm telling you, he's a heathen. He's our president. And I thank God he's not like Hillary. Praise God for that. Now, if that offends you, I'm sorry, but I'm telling you, I'm tickled about that. I'm glad Mike Pence is in there. Praise God for him. I know that guy. He's a great fella. But I'm telling you, you think it. We're going to turn around and we're going to become godly because we have a political president that we like. I'm going to tell you, our problem is we cannot be solved politically. Our problem is a spiritual problem, and we're in the cesspools of sin tonight. I'm telling you, if you think you're in the majority, you're crazy. Listen, churches like this are little and they're few. Churches like mine are getting less and less. It's hard to find a place you'd even worship God in. It's hard to find a place where you can hear old-fashioned preaching and old-fashioned singing and women dressed like women and men dressed like men, and you hear the right kind of preaching from the right kind of book. Hey, listen. We're not popular in this old world. Enoch lived in that kind of a day. He lived when gloom was everywhere. I'm not trying to tell you it's a gloomy day, but I am telling you this. Listen, if you think the world loves you, you're a fool tonight. They hate us, Brother Barry. They hate us. They hate what we stand for. They get mad when you tell them that when you kill a baby, when you have an abortion, you're committing murder. That makes them mad. I'm telling you, when you talk about God's judgment falling on them, they get mad. On 9/11, the next Sunday, our church was packed out. I don't know how it was here, but you couldn't got another person in the church. It was plumb full. And that morning, I made a statement that God's judgment was coming, and that liberal bunch that showed up for the first time in 6 months got mad and never came back again. I'm going to tell you something, friend. That's the kind of world that Enoch lived in. Enoch walked with God. He's a preacher of righteousness. He preached in that day in the time of Noah. I tell you what, Enoch was somebody who walked with God. And if you walk with God, don't expect everybody to be your buddy. Hey, listen, don't think all the kids at school is going to think you're the greatest thing that ever fell off the pumpkin. Say amen right there. I'm telling you, but this is wonderful. Not only was it a day of gloom, but it was a day of saving grace. Listen, among all the things that were happening during that day, there was saving grace. God changed a man by the name of Enoch. He was 65 years old, and when he was 65 years old, God somehow or another revealed himself to Enoch. And Enoch said, I'm going to start walking with God. He named his boy Methuselah. He realized that something bad was going to happen, and God told him about it. And he said, God, I'm going to walk with you. And the Bible says he walked with God for 300 years from that day. It wasn't just a little stroll. It was a marathon. He walked with God. He was born into the family of God. Aren't you glad in this day that we live in, when sin is on the rampage and when things don't look too good for God's people, that we're still in the day of saving grace? Aren't you glad that God can reach down and save that sinner? Aren't you glad that every once in a while, Brother Barry, somebody walks the aisle, they're in tears and trust Jesus as their Savior? Aren't you glad that somebody gets in every once in a while? Although these are dark days, listen, God is still in the saving business. He's still in the saving business. The other Sunday at church, we were having church and had a good service. Matter of fact, better than usual. God showed up, great, giving an invitation. Down the aisle came this woman. She had a little boy with her, and she said to me, she said, he wants to get saved. I told Brother Joy, I said, will you deal with him? And while we were singing invitation song, we just kept on going. And a few minutes, Brother Joy looked up at me. He said he got saved. I thought that's great. And I said to him, I got him to stand up there, and I said, this young man's trusted Jesus as his Savior. And I said, and everything was going good, and I said, you know, good to have you today. Thanks for coming. We're going to be here tonight. Don't forget Train Unit 6, choir practice at 6:30, worship at 7. Brother Dustin Elp stood up right back here, and he said, I got to say something, preacher. He said, I don't want to leave and not obey the Lord. He said, I want to give my testimony of what happened to me when I was a sinner and God saved me. And he gave that testimony. And I said, well, let's have another congregational song. There was lost people there. Matter of fact, I preached that message with other people on my mind. I didn't know that little boy was lost. There was another woman there. She comes all the time. She's about 80 years old. She's lost. She hadn't been there in 3 weeks. And I prayed all week. God laid that message on my heart. And I said, I know she's going to come today. You know how it is. I don't just pick on people, but I know it's a salvation message. It didn't stir her. There was other people there that I knew was lost. They come that Sunday. But you know what? Right up out of the blue, here stood up one of my church members came down here, and his father-in-law was beside him. He said, he's lost. He wants to get saved, and he got born again. Aren't you glad it's a day of saving grace? Aren't you glad God's not closed the curtain yet? Aren't you glad God still reaches out to lost people? I think that's wonderful, don't you? Think about that. That's wonderful. Here's Enoch. He was born into the family of God. Listen, they carried the torch down through generations. Here's Adam and Seth and Jared and all those people. But I'm going to tell you something. You listening? Just being a son of Adam won't get you to heaven. Just because your papa was saved and your daddy was saved don't mean you're saved. Just because your grandmother was saved and your mother was saved don't mean you're going to go to heaven. You got to have an experience yourself. And Enoch had that born-again experience himself. Listen, I know people, he was looking forward to the cross. We're looking back at the cross, but he was trusting in God. Think about that. Think about that. That's wonderful. Now watch this. Watch this. I like this. The Bible says Enoch walked with God. Matter of fact, it says it twice. In verse 22 and verse 24, he says he walked with God. Do you suppose, I heard Adrian Rogers say this one time, do you suppose that one day while Enoch was downtown And I know it probably wasn't like that. It's not like it is here. We'll just make it like that. Maybe he's in the grocery store down Food City. And he looked down the aisle. And somebody said, "That's Adam down there." Now listen, if Adam lived today, I'd like to see him, wouldn't you? The first man. I'm sure he's well known. I believe Enoch and Adam talked. I believe they had some conversation. I believe Enoch said to Adam, "Adam, I notice out there the garden that has that flaming sword that nobody can get into. That beautiful garden. Can I ask you something? What was it like to live in there?" He might have said, "Man, it was great. It was wonderful. You could eat anything in there. I mean, we were healthy. The animals were tame. It was a great place to live." But he said, listen, Enoch, I don't want you to get the ideal that the best thing about that garden was just those things. The best thing about that garden was in the cool of the day. God would come down. Me and God would walk in that garden. And I tell you, son, that was heaven. That was heaven. That might have been what stirred him. I don't know, Brother Barry, but that might have been. But I believe Enoch started walking with God. And this is what will happen when you start walking with God. You start walking with God. And God will say to you, "Listen, I'm going to walk with you now. But that thing you've got in your heart, that sin that's in there, that hate, that envy, that jealousy. Now listen, boy. You're going to have to give that up, or I can't walk with you." And he said, "I'm going to walk with you. God, I'll put that aside." I heard Daniel Hawtrey do this at church at one of our youth meetings. That used to be Brother Joy's youth pastor. It's so great. He said, when you get saved, when you get born again, he said, God asked you to walk with him. He said, you take that first step. He said, you step into the kingdom of God. And he said, then God will say something to you like this. You know, about your prayer life, you don't pray. You don't pray. You're saved, but you don't talk to me. And God deals with you about that. You maybe hear a sermon from your pastor, and you say, you know, you're right, God. I'm going to start praying. And you take that next step. And then God says, you know, about my word, I want you in the Bible. You don't read the Bible every day. And then you make that choice. You say, you know, God, I want to walk with you. So I'm going to start reading your word. And then God says to you, you know about that thing of not being baptized. You need to join a church and be baptized. Yeah. You say, God, that's right. I want to walk with you. And you take that next step. Listen, you don't get growed up all at one time. I mean, it's a process. And God says, you know, about that stuff, the way you're talking. You're saying words you don't need to be saying. And you come to the altar weeping and crying. You say, God, you're right. I'm going to give that up. I'm going to give that up. God may tell you something like that. And then God says, listen, you know that person down there at school that you sat with at lunch? You know that girl that's sitting across from you? Or that boy that's sitting across from you? They're lost. Would you tell them about me? And you say, God, I'm going to do that. And it's a step. It's a continual walk with God. You keep walking and taking those steps, and you think you're not too far. But after a while, you look back and you say, "Oh my goodness, how far we've come!" And that's what Enoch was doing. He was coming a long way with God. He was walking with God on a day-to-day basis. Aren't you glad God saves us and lets us walk with Him? Aren't you glad God lets us walk with Him? That's wonderful, isn't it? The Bible says, how can two walk together except they be in agreed? And so they agreed. Enoch was agreeing with God. What God said, it was all right with Enoch. As we talk together, listen, God and Enoch walked and talked together. Think about that. And then I want you to see the third thing is this. There was simple goodness. Notice here that the Bible says, two times in the New Testament, there is a testimony about God's word here in Hebrews chapter 11. The Bible says that he had this testimony that he pleased God. God had a testimony and said, this man pleases me. That's big. It's big. It's one thing for you to please people, It's another thing for you to please God. And he said, this man pleases me. He has a testimony that he pleased God. You have to wait till you get into the New Testament, before all the way through the Old Testament, before you get to say anything else like that about anybody. And this is what God says about this. He says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. That tells me that Enoch and Jesus were alike. Amen. They pleased the Father. But then he had this testimony. This man's word, it says Enoch was a preacher. And he testified. He testified. He had this light about the end time. Now we know more about the end time than Enoch does. I'm telling you, if you have a Bible, you know more about what's coming than Enoch did. But Enoch said the Lord's coming with 10,000s of his saints. He's talking about when he comes back with them, and you know and I knew if he comes back with them, he's got to come for them first. Isn't that right? He's got to come and get them before he can come back with them. That brings me to this thing. There's sudden glory. All at once, Enoch was walking along with God. And as they walked along with God, one day, God said, Enoch, I want you to come on to heaven with me. You've come a long way, and it's time for you to come on home. And the Bible says he was translated. He didn't even miss a stride. Wouldn't it be good that we live such a way that when the Lord comes, there's nothing we had to do, we just keep right on walking. And just go right on there with him. Wouldn't that be something? I think that's going to happen. The Lord's coming. Moses said he was not. And the book of Hebrews says he was not found. That reminds me of what happened in Elijah's day. Elijah said to his servant, I want you to stay here and I'm going to go. He said, well, I'm going to go with you. So they were going together. And Elijah said, I'm going to go on over here to Bethel. He said, I want to go with you. He said, you stay here. He said, no, I'm going with you. And every time they go, these prophets would say to him, the Lord's going to take your master home today. He said, well, I know that. I know that's the reason why I ain't leaving him. And you know what? They came down the way. They came down to Jordan. And Elijah said, what do you want from me, Elisha? Elisha said to Elijah, I'd like a double portion of what you got. I've seen God in you, and I'd like to have a double portion of that. He said, you've asked a very hard thing, but if you see me when I'm taken up, you can have it. Now, I don't know how he could tell him that, but God must have cleared that up with him. They're walking along, and all of a sudden there's a chariot afar, and that thing comes running toward them, and it divides them, and whirlwind takes Elijah up to heaven. As they come to the Jordan River, Elijah takes his mantle and he hits the water. And the Bible says the water goes hither and thither. It rolls back. They've crossed over now. Here comes that chariot of fire and that whirlwind. And Elijah's gone to heaven. And all of a sudden, here comes that mantle. And it falls down there. Elijah picks up that mantle. And he goes back to the Jordan River. And he says, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And the Bible says the waters go hither and thither. Hey, listen, he did twice as many things as Elijah did. Oh, if somehow we could get a thirst in our heart tonight to want God enough that we want to do more than those preachers before us, that we want to do more than those people who saw God move in great ways. I don't expect the whole world to be saved, but I sure would like to get in on God doing some good things where I'm at. I sure wouldn't want to miss it. Would you? I believe tonight the Lord's soon coming. The Bible says that one of these days we'll be able to sing, "O death, where's thy sting? O grave, where's thy victory?" For those who are waiting for the rapture, death sometimes comes. I watched death come to my mama. She gathered us around the room, and as she was dying, we'd sing songs, but she felt that sting of death. I watched death sting my daddy, my niece Sandy, my twin sister Sherry. I think it was last week she died 2 years ago. Me and Vicky went over to the hospital. She had cancer. And we decided to go over that night and give her husband a break. And he was over in another room there sleeping. We was in the room with her. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning. Her breathing got a little more labored and less. And I called Kester and I said, "Kester, you might ought to come to the hospital. I don't think Sherry's going to make it." He called Kathy and Barb. And just a few minutes, they were all there. And through the night, we sung a little bit. And I don't care what you think about death. It's a monster. It's a mean thing. I'm telling you, you say, "Oh, well, I'll tell you, death's great." Well, you ain't never been there. It's not that. It's a booger. And, you know, I sat there beside her bed, and I was holding her hand about 4 o'clock in the morning, a little bit before 4, and I watched her breathing get less and less. And finally, I watched that last breath. She never took another breath. She was gone. She felt that sting. She can't sing, "Oh, death, where's your sting?" because she felt it. Now, I've never felt that death sting yet, Brother Barry. I'm really looking for the rapture. So I don't know if I'll have to die or if I'll be raptured. But either way, I'm practicing up on both stanzas. I'm learning both stanzas real good. So I don't know. I don't know where I'll sing, "Oh death, where's thy sting?" Or I'll know I'll sing, "Oh grave, where's thy victory?" I may get to sing both stanzas. Isn't that right? If the Lord were to come tonight, there'd be the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. Well, just let me let you hear what the Bible says. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others that have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Sudden glory, sudden glory. Wouldn't it be good today if the Lord would just come right now? You say, "Well, I have a lot of lost people I'd like to be saved." If he don't come soon, there's going to be a lot more lost people. I don't have lost people I'd like to be saved, but I tell you, I'm listening for that sound. I'm listening for that shout. I want to be ready. I don't want to not be looking and walking with the Lord. It'd be such a great day to just be walking along one day and praying and just thanking God, thanking Him for His blessings, and all of a sudden, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we get a glorified body and be gone to be with the Lord. I'm a candidate for the rapture. You say, "Well, I feel sorry for you, preacher." Don't feel sorry for me. Don't get downhearted for me. I got a lot going. There's a lot going for me. Amen. Amen. I may not be popular. If I am, it's okay. I am popular with some people. Some people won't hear me sing. I like that. But I'm not nationally popular. I'm not in the spotlight a lot. Who cares? You say, aren't you afraid somebody not know who you are from 100 years from now? Who cares?
That's right.
I don't care if they know me or not, as long as they know about Jesus.
Amen.
I mean, as long as his word has been preached and people are living for him, what difference does it make?
Amen.
In a moment, in a twinkling eye, we're going to be in his presence to behold him, to see Jesus, to look upon his face. Can you imagine what it was like for Enoch walking along and just 1 second he's here walking, talking to God, and the next minute he's in his presence. Well, he didn't even change presence.
Amen.
They just changed places.
That's it.
And you know, you made a statement earlier, Brother Barry. You said, you know, if God had died for perfect people, you'd been left out. But guess what? You're going to be perfect. Hey man, you're going to be just like him.
Amen.
You're going to look like him, be like him. You have a glorified body like him. No more sin. Hey, listen, no more bad thoughts. No more people coming. No more bad news. All that's gone. No more sickness. No more cancer. No more heart attacks. No more diabetes. No more strokes. No more knee replacements. None of that junk. Praise God. Praise God, we'll be in his presence. Now, some of you young people, I don't mean nothing to you. You wait till your teeth starts falling out and your hair starts falling out and your knees don't bend too good. You'll understand that better by and by. Amen. That's right. Amen. I used to be like you too. I could jump across this pulpit right here on the floor and I'd be excited about that. You saw me jump across here now. I wouldn't have to wait for the rapture. I'd be singing, "Oh death, where does thy sting?" Amen. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Oh, Enoch here, he's a man who walked with God. Don't you want to do that in your life? Don't you want to walk with God? Don't you want God to be on your side, living for him? That'd be wonderful. Praise the Lord for that. I'd like for every head to be bowed tonight, and every eye to be closed. It's okay, isn't it, Brother Barry? Tonight, as we're thinking about this service, we're living in a dark day. We're living in a time of trouble. But isn't it wonderful? God does save people. And we can have a testimony that pleases God. But even more than that tonight, we can walk with God. And we can expect the Lord to come. Listen, if we're looking for Jesus to come tonight, that's our blessed hope. That's the hope we have in him. Listen, if this night, if you're not where you need to be with the Lord, won't you come?
Yes.
And find you a place here tonight. Maybe God has spoken to you in your heart tonight, and you need to say, "God, I want to be closer to you. I want to be more of what you'd have me to be." If God is speaking to you tonight, I hope you'll come in this invitation.